that more deeply. And so we're moving back from that, back into Genesis chapter 15. So these are the things that happened after, sometime after, Abram's encounter with Melchizedek. And that's what we're going to pick up tonight. So let's pray together, and then we're going to get into the scriptures together tonight. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again tonight, thank you so much for allowing us together. We pray for our brothers and sisters who were not able to gather tonight. We just pray that you'll bless and help and keep them. And Lord, we thank you for Christ who died for us and rose again. Thank you for Christ who has revealed himself to us through the scriptures. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth and teaches us. And Father, I just pray that'll happen tonight, that you'll teach us, that you will illuminate us, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding and help us not to just know about you, but to know you. Lord, help us to hear your truth and apply it to our lives. Lord, if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation, that they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in Christ who died for them and rose again. Lord, please help me from nothing. Without you, bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, help us to see Jesus tonight, that we might know you and love you and serve you. And help us to go from this place equipped and encouraged to walk with you as real disciples, making disciples for your glory. If we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We don't know exactly how far it was, what the time span is from the last verse of chapter 14 to the first verse of chapter 15, but we know that God had used Abram to make a great rescue when Lot and all his different people were carried away captive. Abraham took himself and 300 trained servants and went and rescued them. And what an epic story that is in the scriptures. And he brings them back, and they come back with all the spoil. And Abraham gives all the glory to God. He's not about to let anybody else get the glory. He's going to make sure God gets all the credit for what he's done. And so sometime after those things, God comes to Abram and he says three things. He says, one, don't be afraid. Now, I'm going to take it that anytime God comes or sends an angel to someone and says, don't be afraid, that the reason he does that is because they are either afraid now or something's going to happen to make them afraid. And I think the reality is if we're honest with ourselves, most of us deal with fear in some way, in some time, and in some places. I think that fear is something that all people struggle with in their lives. And I am thankful tonight that I know the answer to overcome all fear. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Will you look at verse 14 with me? Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Yeah, let me ask you a question. Just those few verses there, who is that speaking of? It's speaking of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ became one of us so that he could pay for all of us, Amen. That by faith we could escape death that we all deserve. Amen. Not only that, but that we could overcome sin, that we would be able to overcome sin and death, and that we would be able to not only do that, but to come to him, that he would secure us, that he would provide for us, he would hold on to us, that he would love us, he would provide for us as a nurse cherishes her children. Jesus would be that for us in every need that we have. He does that when we trust in him. So listen, how many times do we see it in the scripture? The angel comes and the people are afraid, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid, I came from God." Amen. And then we see Jesus, who's about to go and die on the cross, and what does he tell his disciples? Don't be afraid. Your hearts are troubled, but you don't have to be troubled. Why? Because what I'm going to do is going to take care of everything that you should ever be afraid of.
Amen.
And what is it that we should fear? Did our Savior tell us not to fear man? Listen, people can hurt you. People can even kill you. But they can't destroy your body and your soul. God can. So the greatest thing that we should actually fear is God, but God takes away that fear because he took the punishment that we deserve. He allowed the wrath to be poured out on his son. He caused his wrath to be poured out on Christ so that we could be forgiven. And listen, friends, we have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to be afraid. We have hope in Christ. We have confidence in Christ. And God's first message to Abram was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, I know a lot of people in this world will say, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared of death. But I'm going to tell you that when people are faced with the reality of death, that changes.
Amen.
It changes. I was talking to somebody just yesterday about this tragedy of suicide that seems to be skyrocketing in our country. And I remember seeing an interview of a man, and I can't remember what city it was in, but people jump off of a bridge in their city all the time to kill themselves. And he goes out there for years. He's gone out there every day to try to talk people out of jumping. But one of the things that's happened with so many of those jumpers, occasionally one of them will survive the jump. And they've gone and interviewed those people. And without fail, everyone who jumped and survived said, as soon as I let go of the bridge, I regretted it. It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Amen.
Why? Because in that moment, they realize what they've done. And inside of every one of us is a fear of death. And people have been, their whole lifetime, in verse 15, we read they're subject to bondage because of the fear of death. But you know what God does? He takes away that fear.
Amen.
So that we can say, to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Amen.
See, he changes everything, and he takes away our fear. God had promises for Abram, and it wasn't just the promises of what he would do in his lifetime, but it was the promises of what he would do in the future, and not just in the future throughout generations of his descendants, but what he would do eternally because of Abraham's faith in God.
Amen.
So we go back to our text, and he says, Abram, fear not, Abram. And then he says, number two, I am thy shield.
Amen.
Don't be afraid, I am your shield. We just came through Vacation Bible School, and the kids learned about the armor of God and all the different things.
Amen.
And you remember that there was a shield in that set of armor? You kids remember? It's the shield of what? Come on, kids. Nelson's the only kid answering me right now. It's the shield of what? Faith. The shield of faith. So the Bible has a lot to say about armor, and we understand what a shield is. We don't think about it today. When somebody joins the Army or the Marines or anything else today, that's not part of the gear that they're given, right? They got some body armor, some Kevlar, and some different things, but a shield isn't something that they have. But in these days, a shield was vital. If you were going to go to war. What was the shield for? Well, it was for protection.
Amen.
Don't be afraid, because I am going to not just provide, listen to me, I'm not just going to provide protection for you, I am your shield.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Not just that God's going to give you a shield, but he says, I am your shield. And the psalmist has a lot to say about it. All the different psalms do, a lot of different psalms do. Psalm 3 and verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Psalm 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Amen.
Psalm 119, 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalm 144, verse 2. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. And listen, we can say like Abraham, we can say like David, we can say like the other psalmist, he is my shield.
Amen.
Do you ever feel unprotected? Do you ever feel like things are dangerous in the world?
Amen.
Do you ever feel vulnerable in this world? I don't know about you, but there are times that I don't feel real safe. Like physically. There are other times, and I'm not just talking about when I'm driving. That was a joke, people. It's a joke. There are times it was a joke. Okay. The people who haven't ridden with me know it's can think it's a joke. There are times that I don't feel secure in life. And so many people in the spiritual realm don't feel safe at all. They feel like they're constantly under attack from Satan and that they are completely unprotected. Like you just can't win. Like the enemy's too great and you're going to get defeated every time. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that God is your shield.
Amen.
Not just that he gives you a shield, but he himself protects you. In other words, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Who can be against us? Abraham, don't be afraid. He says, I am your shield. And then he says this, and thy exceeding great reward.
Amen.
Not just a reward, but a great reward.
Amen.
And not just a great reward, but an exceeding great reward.
Amen.
Why is it worded that way? To help us try to understand in our brains that he is above all things. He's greater than all things. He's more excellent than all things. He is the greatest of the greatest of the greatest. He is just above all that we can imagine, all that we can think. He is our exceeding great reward. And it'd be good if we just got a reward. Right? Do you remember what you deserve tonight? Do you remember where we ought to be? The just judgment that we all deserve, do you remember? We heard some testimony tonight, and you could think about where you were. Brother Tom said he walked in those doors a lost man back in 1977. I didn't do anything in 1977. He walked in those doors as a lost man, but he walked out as a saved man.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that when he walked in this room, he was headed for hell, and he knew it.
Amen.
And some of you can remember that. You remember where you were without Christ. And I've just, listen, for God to give us anything good is exceedingly great.
Amen.
But he says, I've given you a reward when we deserve hell.
Amen.
I've given you a reward. And then he says, not only have I given you a reward, it's a great reward.
Amen.
Not just, am I going to give you something good? I'm going to give you something very good. And not just very good, but exceedingly very good. But don't miss it. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you an exceeding great reward. He said, I am your exceeding great reward. Why? Because he's given to us himself. He's given to us himself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to tell you that when your faith is in Christ, you will receive the promise. When you have faith in Christ, you have confidence of a great recompense of reward. What you have is biblical hope. You have the promise of God, and so you live with anticipation that he's going to fulfill his promise. So what is it that Christ has promised those who believe? Because he says, I'm confident. In chapter 10, he talks about the lost and the saved. I believe that in Hebrews chapter 10. We don't have time to dig into that. But he draws a contrast and a comparison between those who are genuinely born again and those who are not. And those who are not genuinely born again face perdition, judgment, damnation. But those who have been born again by coming to full faith in Christ alone, not any measure of works, but just trusting in Christ alone, they have a great recompense of reward. They have a promise from God. They have hope. They have hope. An earnest expectation of what God's going to do. So if we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul, if we have actually trusted in Christ alone, what is the recompense of our reward? What is that exceeding great reward that we've been given? And in the answer, friends, it's Jesus.
Amen.
It's him.
Amen.
Now listen, we can talk about streets of gold if you want to, and we can talk about pearly gates if you want to, and we can sing about the crystal sea, and we can talk about all those different things, and we can tell funny stories and jokes about St. Peter meeting you at the gates. You do all that you want to. It's just fine. It's fine. But I'm telling you that it's Jesus.
Amen.
It's him. He is our exceeding great reward. What is it that makes heaven great? I'm telling you, it's not the pavement.
Amen.
It's not the city. It's the Lamb.
Amen.
Who is the light thereof.
Amen.
And if he's not there, I want no part of it.
Right.
And neither do you.
Amen.
It's not about the place. It's about the person.
Amen.
It's not, I've given you a city, exceeding great reward. I am your exceeding great reward.
Praise God.
I just wonder tonight, do you know him? Not that you have a shield, but is he your shield? Not that you have a reward, but is he your exceeding great reward?
Amen.
And I want you to understand tonight, the reason that Abram had this exceeding great reward was not that because he was such a great man, and not because he was a wealthy man, and not because he tried to walk a life of holiness. That's not what it was. It's not because he taught his family well and trained his servants well. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's because he believed God.
Amen.
It's because he believed.
Amen.
He believed. Look at it on our text. Back in chapter 15, verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Amen.
And look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. Abram, believed in the Lord.
Amen.
And he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. Why was God his shield? Why was God his exceeding great reward? Why did God said you don't have to be afraid? Why would God tell him that? Because he believed in the Lord.
Amen.
He believed in the Lord. We're going to study it in the next week or two, but I just want to mention, we're going to see in the New Testament that God preached the gospel to Abraham. God preached the gospel to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. The gospel was preached to him, and he believed it.
Amen.
Why is he the father of the faith? Why did he have righteousness? Why did he get the promises? Why did all of this happen? Why would God choose him to establish all these things and give the seed, which is Christ? Because God gave him the gospel, and because he believed it. How can you live a life without fear? How can you have God as your protection and shield? How can you live your life knowing that you have an exceeding great reward that is Christ? Well, it's when you hear the gospel and you believe it.
Amen.
When you believe in the Lord. So God gives a message to Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. And then Abraham has questions for God. What will you give me? You gave me a promise, but I'm still childless. I don't have any seed. I've got Eliezer, and he's a great guy, but he's not part of my family. He's a steward in my house, but he's going to be the one that gets it all because I don't have anyone to give it to. But then look at God's response in verse 4. We just read it. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. The first response that he has is, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. You're going to have a son of your own. He's going to be the son of promise. It's not the only time we look in the scriptures and God promises a son, is it? We can look at other times when maybe a young lady was distraught because she couldn't have any kids, so she goes to the temple and she prays and she pleads with God to give her a son. And God opened her womb and gave her a son. And she could praise God and say, for this child I prayed. Remember that? We can see God's the one who opens and closes wombs, but then we fast forward to the New Testament. We see Elizabeth and Zechariah. We see that it's past that time. It would be impossible for them to have a child. And yet the angel comes and says, you're going to have a child. But then one would come to Mary and to Joseph and would give a promise of a son. You see, I'm persuaded the more I study the Old Testament, especially the life of Abram, later his name will be changed to Abraham. We'll get to that. The more I study it, the more I see so many pictures of Jesus. Why? Because God promised back in the garden that he was going to send one who would be bruised in his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. You remember that? And in the very beginning, he made that promise. But all of that really starts to take shape when God calls Abram. He says, I want you to leave your country, and I'm going to give you a place. You see, the whole story of redemption really starts in earnest with Abraham, and it just, the rest of the scripture, that's what it's all about. It's the story of redemption. He says, I got nothing. And God says, yeah, you do, because I'm going to give you a son. And then he brings him out in verse 5 and says, look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. I've read, and I don't know how true it is, but I've read that in that day, in the ancients' days, that they had set about, many of them had set about to count the stars, and they were sure, absolutely sure, that there were no more than 1,200 stars in the sky. I'm just curious, how many of you ever stood outside at night or laid outside at night and tried to count? Just be honest. Can I see you people? Yeah, I knew there were a couple of you like me. I lost interest pretty quick. You know how hard it is to keep track? It's like some of you guys trying to count the bumps on the ceiling in here. You know how many people just looked up? What's really fun is the amount of people that are still looking up. You can stay as long as you want to and count the bumps on the ceiling. They looked at the stars and they said, "We're sure there's no more than 1,200. But God said it's innumerable. You can't count them all. Amen. And how true is that today? Man, space agencies around the world keep big and building bigger and better and more awesome telescopes. And by the way, I'd love it. I love it, man. They look farther out there. They get more detailed pictures. And it's all to the glory of God. Amen. The stars sing out his praises. Amen. And so we look at that and it's amazing. But we can't even begin to imagine the number of stars there are in the universe. And what's the point? God says you won't be able to number them. You won't be able to number them. My Bible says in Revelation 5, 11 and 12, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The number 10,000 is a Hebraism for uncountable. It's an innumerable number that are gathered around the throne. Why? Because God gave the gospel to Abram. Amen. And he believed in the Lord. You think about Abram's legacy and what a legacy. Because we talked about it with testimony tonight, right? That legacy, how it's passed on and how it multiplies. You know, we can all point back to Abraham, right?
Amen.
So many pictures of Jesus here and so much more to cover. We're going to stop right here tonight, though, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, at verse 7 next week. I would encourage you to read this passage on your own and to look for Jesus as you study it. But God's going to give a promise, and he's going to seal that covenant by himself. And I want to make sure we have plenty of time to dig into that next time. Will you stand together with me?